It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
You're listening to BGN Radio.
Darren Sproles gone! Touchdown, Eagles!
Why you would punt the ball to Darren Sproles in the middle of the field, I have no idea.
It is episode number 240 of the BGN Radio podcast right here on BleedingGreenNation.com and also BGNRadio.com. And whether you are listening to us through SoundCloud or iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, or any other fine podcast app, the best thing that you can do for us right now is rate, subscribe, and review. The five-star reviews do go a very long way. Help us find those other awesome Eagles fans to listen to this Mighty Fine podcast here. Also, if you want a little bonus content, not of this episode, because it is Thursday and we're all not in the same room, and really, who just wants to see this fat, ugly face talking to a camera? So, but there is bonus coverage of a lot of different things. We'll probably do some behind-the-scenes stuff of our upcoming radio show on WIP this Saturday, which is going to be a little different than usual. It's not 1 to 3. It's going to be 8 to 10 p.m. because of the Phillies are getting in our way here, and we're very disappointed in that. But it'll switch back to normal the next week after that. So a lot of good bonus content on Patreon.com/BGN Radio. We're going to do our Eagle After Dark podcast. I would think this week we're, I don't know if it's this week or next week, but we are definitely going to have our old good friend Patrick Wallace finally returned from his rock star tour, and we'll have a conversation with him and get into a bunch of other stuff as well. Just go find us on Patreon.com/BGN Radio. And of course, a lot of new items in the BGN Radio store, folks. I mean, I know the Philly Blunt t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, stickers are all selling very well. If you want to get your hands on one of those before the season starts, plus we have some festivities in the summer that I think that would be very nice. We're also in the BGN Radio store that is brand new. As we said last week, you can get your own now. What's going on? BGN Radio t-shirts, which is pretty cool. I think I just purchased a couple for myself as well. Let's welcome in the crew, the man that is sweating the most and was down at OTAs the most this week, the Jefe in charge of BleedingGreenNation.com, Mr. BLG. What's happening, pal?
I'm doing good. I can hear both of you guys, and both of you guys can hear me.
You'll get that joke at the end of this episode. And Charlie Day himself, Mr. James Seltzer, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah, I'm actually here, and I can hear you guys. I guess you could always hear me, but I'm good. I'm good. You know, shout out to my boss, Spike Eskin, for making us like 40 minutes late to record. Jeez. Thanks, boss.
Yeah, man.
You know, I just don't know what he's recording, because this is the only podcast, so what could he be actually recording in the studio? But whatever, that's a whole separate thing. So
he was recording love pods. Just another love pod, which I was on, and it's a good show, even though it doesn't exist.
It is.
It's still a good show.
Spike's the best. Really, yeah, Spike's really the best. Is. But when I can give him a little shit, I will.
Plenty of questions from all of you, and we thank you for doing that at BGN_radio. But now let's get into this, BLG. Fisticuffs at OTAs with no pads on. How does that happen?
Well, first of all, there weren't any actual punches thrown, but we did have our most heated moment of OTAs, which is very tame, mind you. But still, it was kind of a play where Carson Wentz had scrambled out of the pocket. He was kind of extending the play. Probably would have been sacked in a real game situation. Let's ignore that for a second. Jason Kelce is, I guess, going up against Gabe Bright, you know, who the Eagles signed earlier this week, former fourth-round pick from the Lions. Actually, believe it or not, that's the pick the Eagles traded away to get a third, which they ultimately traded away then again to get Carson Wentz, but that's another story for a different time.
Which was set up by Chip Kelly. Okay, thank you very much.
Exactly. but yeah, so Gabe Wright kind of was still going after Wentz, and Kelce kind of just hit him with like a blindside block. I don't know if he really even meant to hit him that hard. Could have been incidental, but either way, Gabe Wright got hit pretty hard, went to the ground. I think Kelce kind of tried to help him up. Gabe Wright kind of just got up on his own and slapped the crap out of Jason Kelce's helmet, and Kelce didn't like that too much, and I think he said something to the effect that, hey, dude, I can kick your ass.
Ooh.
I believe Ooh. I saw the words quoted as, I would fuck you up, or something along those lines. So that was kind of a
BLG little... went with the PC version.
Yes, exactly. So was that between... Now, what happened? I thought there was... Did Vinny Curry get involved at some point, or did I read that wrong?
I think Teron had that. I think from the angle, he might have just had the player wrong. It was definitely Gabe Wright.
Oh, okay.
It was 77,
gotcha.
New guy. Yeah.
The new kid in the town.
New guy.
Very, very
interesting. That was a ballsy move by new guy.
Yeah.
What about our good friend Carson Wentz? It looked like, again, it was kind of the up and down struggles. Again, a couple of probably really nice plays that I saw tweeted out that were mixed in through there, but... It looks like the defense was holding its own today.
Yeah, the defense as a whole played well, so you have to give credit to them. At the same time, the offense just did not look very good. Carson went out like they were doing a red zone drill, and at one point, it's just like, did Carson complete any of these? And he didn't. He started out for like 0-for-9, and then I think he finished with two completions there, so he went for like 2-for-11 or 2-for-10. Not very good there. So, in addition to that, he threw a pick at one point, like that was just right at Najee Good, and I'm like, there wasn't even an Eagle receiver in the area. I don't know if that's a miscommunication or what. It's not encouraging. And then he had, I think, almost three other passes that were almost picked off. There was one on like a 50-50 ball throw down to Alshon, and Patrick Robinson almost had it, but then Alshon broke that up, which is something we're not used to wide receivers doing so much, and that's one thing, to Alshon's credit, he's pretty good at.
But even in this training camp, too, and even this OTAs,
yeah,
as we've mentioned that, you know, DGB wouldn't do that against Patrick Robinson. So
already one of the Eagles' best defensive backs as well as the team's best wide receiver. So, yeah, it just wasn't pretty from Wentz. And just overall impression from OTAs this far has just been not very encouraging at all, kind of like what we were talking about last week.
That's far more than enough Wentz slander. All right, BLG, we won't have any more of it.
How dare you?
Seriously, though, it seems like someone who's not getting slandered, it seems like first-team reps and praise across the board so far for Rasul Douglas. You see anything special out of this kid early on, BLG?
I think it's a really encouraging sign today that he took the first-team reps with the defense, not just in nickel, like, because that's pretty much where he's gotten most of his first-team reps. Today, they had him in base, so it was just him and Mills, Jalen Mills, on the outside. I think that's an encouraging sign. I also think the fact that Doug Peterson, when asked about which players have impressed you the most in OTA so far, Rasul Douglas was the first guy that Doug Peterson mentioned, so I think that's a really good sign. I think he's had a good spring. I don't know if – I'm not going to say he's guaranteed going to be the starter at this point, but I think he could easily be if he continues to hold this up.
I also see in your notes from today that you used Aguilar continues to look competent, which I think is probably a good way of putting it, because I would probably have said looks really good out there. But what did Aguilar do today?
Deep reception. He got by, and obviously now he's pretty much starting in the slot since Jordan Matthews isn't practicing, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later, because that's kind of a curious thing going on with him, and I obviously wrote that piece about him on BleedingGreenNation.com this week. But so with Nelson Agholor starting in the slot, he actually burned both, I think it was both McLeod and Jenkins on the back end there were kind of in his area at the time where, and one of Wentz's better throws too of practice, where he just totally just lobbed it over the top of the defense, and they didn't have a shot, and Aguilar got it and had a touchdown. And, you know, that kind of reminded me of a play that, believe it or not, Johnny Page, our good friend Johnny Page, Put up on bleedinggreennation.com today, too, from that Eagles-Giants game late last year. If we can see something like that out of Aguilar, that's pretty good. And just more than that, it's not just about the big plays with him, too, because, you know, he has the talent. We've seen the flashes at times. It's more about the consistency that's impressed me. Like, other than a play where it was, like, a really tough drop and I couldn't really give him too much problems for that, he's just looked not terrible. He's not making mistakes consistently, and I think that's the most encouraging thing.
BLG, I want to keep with my theme of talking about rookies here, and I think the one that we're all, at least most of us, most excited to see, Derek Barnett. We heard a lot of good things so far out of OTAs. Anything stand out to you from the rookie?
Yeah, I mean, Derek Barnett looks like the real deal. Like, this guy, and I can't believe it, too.
Tell him, BLG, tell him!
And John's seen it, so he knows, and I'm sure he'll get onto this after I do, but Derek Barnett is 20 years old. That's still crazy to me. The fact that this is, not only is he a rookie, but he's like a 20-year-old rookie who's coming in here, and he's beating Lane Johnson cleanly. And this isn't just a case of Lane Johnson looking bad. Like, let's not do that thing. Like, I have to get into that real quick, because it bothers me so much when you're like, you tweet out one good thing about a player and they're like, oh, well, the other player must have sucked. Well, it's like, no, like Lane Johnson's looked good, but also Derek Barnett is looking good as well. So, yeah, I think it's just really impressive what Barnett has done so far. He just doesn't look like a rookie at all to me. There might be a rookie moment here and there, but just overall, like, he just looks like a guy who's been around. He's getting good pressure. And it's not just about the pass rush. It's not like just one dimension of his game. It's like he also showed great awareness to read a screen and kind of blow it up. And his run defense has been good, too. So just all around from Derek Barnett, I've been really impressed. And again, I think, you know, you look at how Vinnie Curry was limited last year and the injuries may have been a factor and everything. But if Derek Barnett's going to look this good, I don't know how the Eagles aren't going to be able to play him.
Oh, God, that's music to my ears. Look at that. It's just it's I can't believe it. And that's why it is. I still look back at that the first round when we were all kind of there and everybody was very disappointed and left the draft after Derek Barnett was gone. And it's just kind of like, I don't know what everybody was kind of expecting here, but this is what I expected. Like, I think that he's going to contribute right away, may start right away. And I'm sure that there's a couple of questions regarding that. Go ahead, James. Sorry, buddy.
I actually have a question for both of you. Oh. As you guys have both been down there at the OTAs, I have not. Like, my impression is, you know, what the fuck can you really tell from guys in shorts and a helmet? Can you kind of convey, because, you know, like, I know you guys aren't, reading too much into it, but, like, how do you guys kind of weigh the fact that they're in shorts and helmets as opposed to, like, what you're seeing these guys do?
One thing I do want to touch on, that's what I meant to say, BLG, on your point about people like, oh, you know, he must have been really bad going up against whatever guy there. Can we just, even if they're doing things good, and yeah, we don't know if that's going to carry on to the season, just, it's okay to get excited about the idea of something. You know, like me and Nelson Aguilar with the slot. I was like, oh, God, that could actually work out. I'm not saying that Jordan Matthews sucks because of that. I'm not saying that, like, he's going to be a world beater or whatever. The idea of it makes sense to me as, like, fourth, fifth option as an offensive weapon on this football team. I'm right there with you, BLG. Like, things are impressive. I would say that the main things you can still take away from OTAs is corner wide receiver. Because other than pads, and sure, things might change, they might get slowed down, these guys aren't getting popped, all that changes. I think you can take a lot away from wide receiver corner just based on their actions, their agility, how they're looking, how they're breaking up plays and doing that stuff. I would say the same with quarterbacks and their accuracy. Outside of that, I wouldn't lean too much into a bunch of things there, BLG. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you said there, John. The only thing about, I guess, wide receivers and corners that, you know, hurts in terms of actual impression would be the fact that, you know, there's no real pass rush in terms of Carson can actually get sacked. So he can just keep scrambling if a play is over. Or, you know, there's no press. The cornerbacks aren't allowed to press at all. So that's, you know, kind of a factor too. But in terms of the whole picture, I think OTAs are just part of that picture. So for me, I kind of just take it for what it's worth. I'm not drawing any kind of major conclusions so far. You kind of get like a preliminary idea of what the depth chart looks like. You know, some things like that are notable, obviously. Like we're seeing Rizzle Douglas play with the ones. You know, that's not meaningless. We're seeing that, and that doesn't guarantee he's starting, but, you know, it tells us that there's a shot. And on the other hand, you know, DGB's running with the third team, probably not so great for his chances of making the team, yeah. Which we pretty much all knew anyway. So it's that, and then kind of just adding that to what I see at training camp to kind of, you know, confirm or deny. Like is training camp is what I'm seeing in training camp, you know, too small of a sample based on what I'm seeing, and the fact that like I can go back to OTAs and what I drew out of that and kind of piece it together kind of gives me, I feel like, a better sense as a whole.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a great way of putting it. And it does mean certain things, just like you said, with DGB being on the third team there. I'm looking and I'm seeing, unfortunately, Shelton Gibson has not quite found it yet. You know, it's just one of those things. I know where there are a lot of Eagles fans that are very excited about his speed and being able to be that deep threat, and for the most part already kind of penciling him on the active roster. I haven't seen that, and it doesn't look like he did much more to convince me of that today, BLJ.
Yeah, there's just drops constantly with him, and it was to the point today where they were doing a drill and Mike Groh kind of just made him do the route over and over. He ran the route nicely. It's just that he couldn't finish the play and would do the most important thing, which is obviously catching the ball. So he had to do it a couple of times too. And I thought it was kind of interesting, the approach that Mike Groh took. He didn't like yell at him, be like, yo, what are you doing, you stupid rookie? He kind of encouraged him. He's like, you got this, Gibson. And it was a cute, nice little moment. The rest of the Eagles receivers clapped after Gibson finally caught the ball. But I think it's going to take time with that guy. I think I've been talking about it for a little bit now. I really don't see him being active on game day. Maybe there's practice squad talk in there. I think he would get picked up just from the speed aspect. Someone's going to take a chance on that. So I think you want to keep him on your roster, but I think he's not at the point yet where he's ready, and that's fine. The Eagles didn't draft Shelton Gibson to come in and be a starter right away. They probably knew he would take some time, so I don't think it's like anything to panic about, but it's a little disappointing. I thought, you know, maybe he could have been a little further along at this point, but he's just not, and it'll take some time.
James, speaking of that, I'll just pretty much ask the same question you asked to us. Even though you're not down there, what do you take away from OTAs and this stuff?
Yeah, it's a good question, because it's something I kind of struggle with, because it's hard for me to take too much away, because ultimately it is not football in the essence of football. But at the same time, I think you make a great point. There are things that are going to translate, like speed. You know, if a guy's fast and you see him going up against other guys in practice, he's usually going to be faster in pads too, especially like wide receiver, cornerback. That makes a ton of sense to me. I don't worry too much about the quarterback accuracy, again, because – you know, I think it's a very different thing when the you know, guys are in your face and the heat of the game and all that type of stuff. But regardless, my point is more that I think it's fun to get a feel for it. And like you say, there's no reason not to get excited. I just don't think that you can, you know, make too many hard line assumptions based on them.
Yeah, like you can't judge anything based on, well, now I think Alshon Jeffery's going to have 1,200 yards, fucking 13 touchdowns this season. Like, yeah, you can't really wrap your heads around that. And you can't really even do that in training camp and preseason either, as we've determined already by a bunch of different things. We never fully know exactly what they're working on. But I still think, you know, just to see the agility, the strength and all that stuff. And I can't not continue to get excited about Derek Barnett. I have to go back to that again. Like, I'm super pumped that it's there every practice. You know, it's not like, oh, he just got Lane Johnson one day. No, he's getting Lane Johnson every day, and Lane Johnson's getting him every day. That's a fantastic sign of, you know, and who knows, maybe Lane isn't comfortable with left tackle, and if he were to go up in right tackle, it'd be a different story. But I'm very excited. I think you should be very excited about the Eagles' first round pick coming in here. BLG, last thing for me, because it just, again, it baffles me so much. Matt McGloin is still outperforming Nick Foles, in your opinion?
I think so. Nick Foles wasn't there today, to be fair, but I think he's expecting the birth of his first child, so congrats. Well,
congratulations to
Nick Foles
on that. I take everything back.
McGloin
so.
Has looked... Yeah, Matt McGloin hasn't looked bad at all. I mean, nothing like, you know, oh, wow, Matt McGloin's really lighting it up. You know, like nothing great here, I'm saying. But just the fact that he hasn't looked bad at all, I think, has kind of been a nice little surprise, if you will. I think he might have been better than Foles so far. I think a lot of people have been calling me out, apparently, in the BGN comments for saying that I just have this vendetta against Nick Foles, which may or not be true. But also, John has been there.
Oh, yeah.
He's seen Nick Foles not look so good. So it's not just that.
It's definitely true. Let's not, true, you know, beat around the bush.
That's not why I'm saying it.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, and same with me. I hate Nick Foles. On the field. I hate Nick Foles on the field. I like Nick Foles
as a player,
the person. Yeah, he's a fantastic individual.
He's a really good guy. He was one of the, like, few, when I worked for the Eagles, he was one of the few people who would, like, always remember me and come across a room to shake my hand and be really nice. He's a great guy, but shitty football player.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, it's just, I want to take him out to dinner and we would, you know, conversate about, I don't know, DC talk. I don't know what he's into.
He loves God.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's I was trying to drop in some Uber. Of the Christian rock bands in there.
Uber. Loves Uber.
Tide.
And, what was the hotel that he did that weird commercial for?
Oh, for the Marriott? Right? Yeah.
Yes. Loves the Marriott.
So we would
loves
have a,
it.
We would
and
have
Napoleon
a good time.
And Dynamite, too.
Yeah, exactly. So there'd be a lot of different things moving through there. And, you know, we'd have fun doing that. It's just, unfortunately, it's just, you know. It's not where it is as far. I mean, whatever. It's his backup position, and I can't be too upset about it. So, I would say besides all that, we should probably get into some of your questions as well because there are a plentiful amount and some good ones, and we'll stick with that. Actually, our good friend Matt Gumbrecht just chimed in right now under the wire. So, at what point are you allowed to panic about Wentz's OTA performance here, James?
Never. It's the OTAs. Like I just said, like I'm not going to, like if he looks like that, like we just said, like I don't even take a lot away from preseason and training camp. If he's this bad in training camp and preseason, then we could start to say, ooh, you don't look good and start to worry maybe a little bit heading into the season. But this is OTAs. It is freaking, you know, June, the beginning of June. I am not worrying about Carson Wentz yet.
Yeah, I probably won't until week three. Honestly, unless he looks like crap.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, even like it has to be like real bad. I'm talking about like 2 for 11, like they're saying today, or whatever it is. Like, if he's like lost in preseason, then it's something to discuss. But even then, like you said, it's going to be a lot longer before I worry about him.
Yeah, like 6 picks, no tutties in the first 3 weeks would be bad.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
That
wouldn't be good.
Yeah, it would be terrible. And we'll get into some other.
No, that would be terrible.
Terrible. We'll get into some other Eagles news and notes stuff. I want to make sure that James can get some of these questions because he is going to see the Jurassic 5 tonight because he is a very fancy boy. And, you know.
You're damn right, Johnny.
He likes to do some fun things.
Very fancy. And now you can end the podcast with some J5.
There you go. We will definitely do this. This one coming from Eric BLG. Assume that the D line, oh my God, is going to get 40 sacks total together. Spread those out amongst the starting four defensive linemen. Barnett with 8, Cox with 8, Curry with 8, Graham with 8, Timmy with 8.
This is the most realistic tweet we've ever gotten.
Yeah, so holy Toledo, Vinny Curry finds himself in the rotation of playing 23% of the snaps and still comes away with 8 sacks. Let's say I don't think though that defensive line will get 40 sacks. I think
no, they will not. I think we can pretty much safely say that.
Yeah, BLG, what do you say is a good estimate for the defensive line as far as sack total goes?
I am really high in this Eagles defensive line. I don't think I'm quite that high.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, I'll take it if it happens, but I don't know, looking on, just guessing offhand, but I think this defensive line could be like really, really good. I mean, I don't know about historically good or anything like that, but I mean, I think there's a lot of reason to be excited. I think we kind of understate how much, you know, like Benny Logan and Connor Barwin in a vacuum, like those are good players. But in the Eagles scheme last year, they're not the optimum players.
Correct.
Like Benny Logan isn't a guy who's pushing the pocket. And Connor Barwin is going up against left tackles every week and pretty much getting like easily erased on almost virtually all of the plays. So like that was huge. That's just like it's a huge handicap your defense is playing with at this point. So it's not just like they got rid of those guys and replaced them with just anyone. They got someone who has been way more productive in terms of pass rush than Benny Logan with Tim Jernigan. And then at defensive end, Derek Barnett already looks good. And then you still have Curry you can rotate in there. And then you got Chris Long, too, who's pretty coming off like a decent year with the Patriots. So I think there's definitely reason to be optimistic about that group. I just don't know if I would say they're all going to have 8 sacks each.
Yeah, and I would probably, just like I was saying, like I would add Chris to that lineup. And I think maybe you can get to like 30, 35 all between them on a very, like, if everything goes right. 40's a little high there, though, James. What are your expectations here?
Yeah, I was just looking, doing some quick math. The team as a whole had 34 sacks last season as a whole. 5 of those were not by D linemen, and I'm not even count, like, there were Destiny Viejo had sacks, Marcus Smith.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're talking just that, you know, there were like, even just without, even if you include the backup defensive linemen, they had 29 sacks last year. I think they could be the better as a defensive line from a pass rushing perspective, but asking them to get an 11 sack increase, just from those guys on the main core, which is more considering the, you know, throwaway sacks, Steven Means had a sack, stuff like that. So, I think that's a hard ass. Look, if that happens, the Eagles are a legit playoff team, because then their secondary is not going to be nearly as much of an issue. So, it'd be great if that happens, but I think that's a big ask.
All right, we're going to mix it up a little bit here, BLG. This is from our good friend Geomore 96. Back to back. Are you a Saw fan at all, BLG? The movies?
No, I'm not a horror movie guy at all.
Yeah, I am.
All right, so all right, James, you first. The best Saw movie is what?
Saw 2.
There, I get
the one in that.
Can't agree or disagree.
It's the one in the house. It's the one in the house where they're like trapped in the house. I love that one.
Next follow up question, BLG. What is the best Friday movie?
Haven't seen them.
You haven't seen any of the Fridays?
Nope.
Oh, Lord in heaven, I ripped out my headphones so hard. I was so shocked by that answer, and I can't hear anything right now. There we go.
It's the first one, obviously. Yeah, it's not even close.
Yeah, not even close with that. All right.
They should have just made the first and not made another.
back to the football from a good friend, Stephen Lee, here, BLG. These are all, he's setting the over-unders for these four players. Derek Barnett, 6 sacks over under.
I think that's under. I think that's too high to set the over under.
I wish it was 6.5, and then it's an easy under. 6 is kind of like where I expect it. So
yeah,
I'll gamble. I'll take the over. I'll say Mike gets 7. He has a fantastic year. James,
I'm gonna go under too. Under? I mean, what BLG had 5.5, or BG only had 5.5 last year. It's tough to get. I mean, as a rookie, it's a lot.
It
6 is possible, but I if I'm forced to choose 6, I would go under.
Carson Wentz 4,000 yards. James, over under.
Man, that's a lot of yards.
Keep in mind, he'd be the first ever Eagles player to do that.
Yeah, and
that
Stephen
seems
Noden.
Like a lot of yards. We were just doing the math last show. I was like, that's like a 250 average or something. Like, I don't think he gets there. I think he's going to be like high threes. Like, I could see 38 for sure, like 39 even. But, like, I just couldn't gamble on over 4. It could happen, but I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah, I'm taking the under. I already predicted 39-ish. BLG, you under on that too?
Under.
Yeah. Nelson Aguilar, 500 yards, BLG.
Ooh,
that's a really good one.
Yeah.
So what has he had so far? He
not 500 like yards.
400. Let me look it up here real quick. Yeah. So his
last year, not good. Last year at 365. Yeah. On 36 catches
and 48 combined so far.
And that was when they had no one else to throw to.
I have to go under, just because I think it's just. If I'm betting on this, I'm not counting on this.
It's an easy under.
Actually, I'm going to say I'm going to take the over
because
Jordan Matthews is going to get traded.
Oh! All right, well, that's
the only reason why I can see.
If Matthews gets traded and he's playing in the slot, like, then I will refine that pick. But for now, I'll go under.
And we'll get back to that in just a second. Smallwood, 600 yards on the ground, James. Over, under?
Under.
Yeah, I'm taking the way under on this, actually.
Like, easy under. Like, that wasn't even
extremely,
a hesitation.
Extremely under. BLG?
312 last year.
Easy under. even if you like him, like, he had trouble staying healthy last year in training camp and during the season, so, like, you can't just bet on that guy.
Yeah, he's still going to be the third option at running back. I think they're going to go LeGarrette, Sproles, and then him.
Yeah, I think so, too. But, like, with Pumphrey and all these people kind of just getting touches.
Yeah.
I don't see five or whatever.
I would take.
I don't even see 500 yards.
Yeah. I would take Pumphrey at 600 yards total this year, though, between Aaron Graham.
Offense and defense. Yeah. Offense and defense.
I'd probably still go the under on that, but I think that's very doable.
Lining up at safety, Donnell Pumphrey. What level of production do you see from Zach Ertz, and do you think he can sustain it through the season, Mr. James Seltzer? This is coming from Justin Lamphere, by the way.
Yeah, I don't want Brandon Ekstrom to get mad at me here.
it's too late.
Call into the podcast.
It's too late.
Look, here's the thing. Could Ertz be, could he get to, I mean, last year, 78 catches on 816 yards. That looks pretty good for a tight end. We all know how it happens, though. So, I think he could certainly do that again or better. Like, sure, like, he could, but... Ertz is the guy. He's like it's like a unicorn. Until I see it happen, I'm not fucking going to believe that it can happen. So he needs to show it to me over the course of the season and show me so for now, like, I'm going to say exactly what he did last year.
Yeah, I'm going to say the same exact thing, BLG.
I think it's going to be this exact opposite because it won't be he plays well at the end of the season and, of course, they'll, like, be in the playoffs at that point. He'll get, like, off to, like, a really strong start and everyone will be like, oh, yeah, he's doing it. This is the year. And then, like, it'll get to the end of the year and it'll, like, slow down. They'll be like, no, he's doing the exact opposite.
This is not playoff Ertz. It's just Zach Ertz. Oh, no. That would be very Philadelphia. So, see, I told you he's coming out of his shell. And then Brendan will tweet at all of us, and then we'll tweet all about him in December. So it'll be a great fight. This from our good friend, the mighty E-Rock over at 4th and John. Him and Gail and the whole crew over there do a fantastic job. name one thing that each of you do that drives the other nuts. So, BLG, what drives you nuts about me and James?
I have to do it, James, and this isn't really bad, but it's just kind of funny to me. It's the, what is it? One quick, real quick. But it's
that was mine
it's
too.
It's not like actually I hate you, like, bothers me. It's just funny kind of.
It's a, so James is notorious. If we're getting into a rhythm here, like, it's 1-2, everybody's bouncing off each other, and James, like, you know, and I get it because we only have 2 hours on the radio, and it's mostly when that happens. So we're banging, go real quick. Just like, how many real quicks do you need? Just say five lines together instead of real quick. James, you're annoying. Oh, wait, yeah, most annoying thing about me, BLG.
Yeah, you can't get off with only one. You can only rip me and then not rip John. That's
yeah, this is exactly how it should work.
What the fuck, man?
I can't think of anything. I guess maybe, I can't, honestly, you got to come back to me. I can't think of it.
You had mine right in the holster, though, ready.
I'll say.
There you go.
It's hard. It's a hard question.
Yeah, so this is kind of for both of you, too. I mean, like. The real quick thing is actually just like PL just said, it's more funny than it is annoying. I would say the most annoying thing is when we're doing remotes. I'm setting everything up, and these two fuckers are drinking beers and, like, hey, you need anything? Hey, and they're done two beers before I even get one, and I'm just like, yo, man, what's the deal here?
We never ask to help, though, ever.
That's true. James, what do you got, buddy?
Okay. More like fun stuff. BLG, stop offering to pay me money when you sleep over at my house. What the fuck, dude? You're my friend. You don't have to pay me.
I feel bad.
Here, just let me give you $20 for letting me stay at your house. I'm not a motel, BLG. I'm your friend. That's annoying. John, I don't have anything current, but for like a year and a half, you said my last name wrong, so I guess that can count.
Yeah, he never corrected me either.
You did that. Yeah, I know. You would go, James Seltzer.
Oh, Seltzer?
Pretty close. I never put the tea in seltzer. You would do like seltzer or something. You would like it was good.
Oh yeah. How what do you call it? The syncopation of it? You know, shockingly that I mispronounced somebody's name on this podcast.
But you've since corrected time. That, so I got nothing for you, Johnny.
BLG, when you think of one, get back to us. In the meantime, if you had a daughter, would you rather she date Chip Kelly or Doug Peterson? This coming from a good friend, Matt Wilcox.
Wow. How old is the daughter?
Let's say the daughter. Let's make us all older. And
25.
We've put it through. Yeah, 20, make it like very 25, reasonable. 25.
Doug Peterson. He's he seems like more of a nice man.
Yeah, I'm Doug too.
I'm going. Oh, this was a no brainer Chip for me. I'm shocked. Doug's got the whole, like, kind of like, he seems like he's like the nerd dad guy, but I think he's a bit of a player, Doug. I think Doug's got a little swag to him.
We kind of already know that.
No swag. Chip's not even going to pay attention to her. He's just going to take care of her, give her money. He'll stimulate her mind, but like, he won't even want to be with her. He's going to be out, like, you know, running teams and setting up things and doing this and doing, like, you know, and when he is around, you know, he'll be fine. He won't, you know, I like to think of, you know, I think he'll be more of a gentleman. To my daughter. I feel like
when he throws her in the closet.
I feel like Dove can get a little you know.
I feel like
smooth with my daughter. I don't like the way Doug's smooth with my daughter. I don't appreciate it.
Yeah, but like, don't you think Chip Kelly kind of be like control freak towards your daughter? You know, like that whole thing is just like, hey, you need a little. I think you need to lose a little weight. Here's a smoothie.
Just gonna let her do her thing. He'll see her like five times a year. And she could just be rich and have a happy life.
Yeah, all right.
I don't want that.
All right, fair enough.
I figured out Doug's, my John thing.
Doug's going to be all needy and whatnot.
yeah, go ahead, BLG.
I think it's that, John, you're way too nice sometimes.
Oh, my God.
Which is a good quality to have.
I have not even said that, BLG.
So annoying.
John, so handsome and pretty. That's my one.
But it's true. Oh, come on.
No, well, for the record, people can be too, like, it can be annoyingly too handsome and or pretty. That is definitely a thing.
It is a thing, actually.
Not with me, because I don't know what anybody's looking at. But it does happen. I'll just say that much. Let's go to...
Quick. No, I'm just
Bear 12, at Bear 12, what's the crowd reaction like, James, when the first pass to Alshon Jeffrey is dropped?
Man, I hope it's nothing, but, you know, we're Philly. I don't think they'll boo him on the first one, right?
I think Twitter will go $14 million for this shit.
Yeah. Here's the question. Is it the first pass of the season?
Because
that's what I mean. Like, it's a very different thing if it's, like, the first time Alshon drops one or whatever. But if it's, like, they open the season and they throw a bomb to Alshon and he drops it.
The question is the first pass in the game.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like the first pass
in the game. Yeah, to Alshon.
That's tough. I don't know. I don't think they boo, but I think there's like a big group sigh where like the air is sucked out of the stadium.
There he goes. Wentz drops back. He throws. He's got Alshon wide open, and he drops it. He drops it, Mike. That was the worst Merrill impression ever. But I could see people getting upset about that.
Drop it.
From our good friend Willing to Go Ham. Cheesesteak question incoming. The best place to eat a cheesesteak. I'm from Kansas City. Is it Pat's or is it Geno's? Okay. From those two, go to Pat's, and a bunch of people are going to tell you, how dare you tell them to go to the tourist places, whatever. Pat's is a good cheesesteak, all right? It's fine. It's good for what it is.
It is.
Do not tweet at me. But as you all know, boys, are you ready to hit it? Go to... Woodrow's. Six and South. It's the best damn cheesesteak you'll ever have in your life here. All right, we'll get to some. Oh wait, James wanted to answer this one, so we'll get to this, and then we'll get into some Jordan Matthews things. Fuck, marry, kill: Washington, Dallas, New York. Go ahead, James.
I love it. I just love this question.
This is so easy, though, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, I think the only easy answer is Mayor of New York. I think that's very
correct.
Clear.
Yes.
By far the best city of the three. Nothing is even close. Like, it's like New York shits all over the other two cities. Come at me, Washington and Dallas. But I think that the kill fuck part is pretty interesting. I think I might surprise you here.
Uh-oh.
Because I'm going to kill Washington.
Yes.
Because fuck Washington. Okay, so we agree. And then we're going to hate fuck Dallas. Is that the...
No, because it's fuck it Dallas. Because it works in so many different ways. Fuck Dallas, kill Washington, marry New York.
That's it.
Right? That's how we're going to go?
Yeah, that's it. Good job.
Fantastic. Well, James has to run off to his concert, so he wanted to just chime in with some questions. Me and BLG are going to hang out and move it right along here, but we'll see you on the next one, buddy. Thanks for hanging out.
All right, love you guys. I'll see you soon.
So, BLG, just getting back to that. Jordan Matthews article that you had kind of put out there. And again, I think there was a lot of misunderstanding maybe in that, and a lot of pushback from it about, you know, what his value is moving forward. And I thought you explained it pretty well. I mean, you were saying that, hey, Jordan Matthews is good, hardworking wide receiver who has been, you know, an element of bad teams on here, and he's produced really well. Is that really worth the money in the long run? And I thought you made some pretty good points there.
Yeah, and the reason too, before we get into like, oh, why are they even talking about this now? He's not a free agent until after the season. Well, I mean, the thing is, I mean, they could trade him reasonably. I think the whole weird thing going on right now with him missing practices, I just think it's weird. I don't know if that's actually leading to a trade. Doug Peterson said before today's practice that if this were the regular season, Jordan Matthews would be able to practice. But he's been listed with that knee tendonitis, which is what he's had dating back to last year. But it was weird because I felt like on the first day of OTAs a couple weeks ago, he had said it was the ankle that was bothering him, not the knee. It's like, I don't know if there's like some disparity there or some kind of conflicting information or what. But in any case, I think it's possible he still gets traded, obviously. I'm not saying the Eagles need to go out and rush to do that because I think there's value in keeping him this year. Like, if you're trading Jordan Matthews for a sixth-round pick, what's the point? Like, there's no value in that. There's no sense in that. I just don't think you can pay him, and I think that's something to consider moving forward, especially this year. We'll see how he does, first of all, because it's weird to me, John, and you've mentioned this too, so I'll throw it back to you here, but... there's been all this talk about how Jordan Matthews can have a really good year this year because Alshon and Torrey Smith and everyone, they're going to open things up for him underneath. And I get that thinking, but at the same time, like, this is a guy who has led the Eagles in targets the past couple years, and then he was, like, second in his rookie year. So, like, he's not going to get those targets.
Yeah, he'll be more – I think we've tried to explain that, too, where it's going to – I think he even might have – be more efficient, just not more productive. It doesn't mean that, like, all of a sudden, all the same targets are still going to go to him. Now you got to feed a couple of different animals here. Alshon's going to be your number one after Jordan Matthews was, like, the number one guy here. You know, but I think people forget that a lot. So, and in between all that, like, there wasn't a lot behind him in those years. I mean, when starting out, you know, I think you even posted it. Jeff Mayle was still here in his rookie year.
Yeah.
So then just the garbage that you had to work with all in between. You know, we all remember the awful, the Austin incident, and we all remember everything else that, like, couldn't catch a cold out here. Nelson Agholor wasn't providing anything. Like, he was the best of the bunch in a world on a bad team. And Zach Ertz, you know, it was him and Zach Ertz, and that's pretty much it. So it could be that he still is as productive as he continues to be, and we'll all get shocked by that, and maybe they'll have two, you know, 1,000-yard wide receivers on this team this year. Go ahead, buddy.
Oh, sorry. That's something you see in the NBA, too, in terms of these volume guys. Like, I don't want to compare him to MCW, but, like, you know, MCW won Rookie of the Year because he posted a bunch of volume stats on a really bad team. Like, and he hasn't been good since because he's played on actually better teams, and he's not going to have that same kind of opportunity. Like, that's just my whole point of... That's my main point, at least, of the argument, is that a lot of these stats, which is funny because, like, I feel like that's the main thing we defend Jordan Matthews with, is stats, because, like, you can't point at him and be like, oh, he's really good at this thing, because I don't think he is particularly exceptionally good at any one thing. I think he's fine in a lot of areas, but he's also not fine when it comes to, like, You know, we've seen him drop some really, really, really bad passes that should have been caught. Like, just there's no one around him 10 yards away. And it's just he's wide open. He's dropping it. And it's like, why? Or he's dropping a touchdown pass like in that Chicago game last year. Like, it's easy. It's very easy for me to say that these are easy catches from the sideline, of course, and being the guy in the couch saying that. But still, I just feel like, you know, this is going to be the guy you're going to pay. And look, I get the disappointment in that because Jordan Matthews is a fan favorite. You know, I think Carson Wentz obviously likes him a lot, so you have to consider all of that. But at the end of the day, I don't really think he's long for this team. And it goes back to what I think we've talked about even privately is just the fact that if the Eagles wanted to keep Jordan Matthews around, they probably would have signed him by now.
Oh,
they
yeah.
signed all of those guys last year. And Howie Roseman came out and said, you know, because he was asked about why they did it, he said, you know, we're building our core. And I think it sends a message when you don't re-sign a guy at that time, just like the Eagles didn't re-sign Benny Logan at that time last year and let him go into free agency. I think it kind of says how they feel about him.
Yeah, I think it's also, I mean, I get it. I'm not trying to, and don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say the Eagles or anybody else are suggesting that, like, or trying to hide the fact that these guys maybe do have some injuries that are still lingering and they're still hanging out and just waiting until, you know, they could fully go. And Doug Peterson even expressed that and said they're just taking a conservative approach with, you know, this thing with his knee. And they're doing the same thing with Michael Kendricks, who apparently, again, that hamstring is never-endingly bothering him. And why push all that stuff again during OTAs and things like that and risk it? Although, it's just, you know, my alarm bells just slightly go off. I put on a tinfoil hat and I go, and Jordan Matthews has been sitting out a while. Michael Kendricks is out. Those are two guys that, you know, were always rumored or suggested that maybe those guys were going to get moved. I mean, Jesus, we've been trying to trade Michael Kendricks for 2.5 years now. It seems like he's always been on that rumor trading block. So, again, at the same token, why would you want these guys to go out there, ruin their trade value during OTAs and things like that? Now, I don't expect those things to happen, but it's just something to keep in mind kind of moving forward. And I don't know what they would do. I don't know who would want Jordan Matthews. I don't off the top of my head, BLG, I don't even really see a realistic fit anywhere at this point in time if they wanted to do that. I mean, I guess if Buffalo misses out on Jeremy Maclin, but even then, it's not the same skill set or the, you know, the Ravens now, Eric Decker's kind of in the mix. So there's a couple of other people that are in here and probably better options for an upgrade at wide receiver as opposed to Jordan Matthews. And again, it's not a knock on him, but I think there are a few people that would rather prefer Eric Decker's skill set and vice versa there, which I actually think Eric Decker would work out perfect for Baltimore and Maclin would work out perfect for Buffalo for what they kind of need there. So I don't really know, but it's definitely something to kind of keep an eye on here. Anything else that kind of caught your eye today, BLG? I know that you saw that, you know, Aaron Grimes and also Jalen Mills had pretty strong performances today. Just more good things from them overall, I guess.
Yeah, and Mills obviously pretty important as one of the first team cornerbacks. I really didn't see any plays where he was getting burnt, which we've obviously seen in some of these practices before. So that was kind of nice today for him to bounce back. Looked really just solid in coverage. Had a nice play on Alshon in the end zone. The throw might have been a little off target from Wentz, but still it was good coverage overall from Mills, kind of driving Alshon into the sideline there. So a solid day from him. And Grimes, yeah, Aaron Grimes is a nice player who I think has kind of just picked up right where he left off last offseason, coming in from the CFL. And obviously he had that awesome one-handed interception in the Steelers preseason game. That's where he got hurt. Unfortunately, he never really was able to recover fully. The Eagles had re-signed him at one point during the season, but I don't know even if he was really truly 100% at that point. They cut him shortly after, put him on the practice squad. So I think Aaron Grimes is a nice guy to have, like a depth guy, you know, probably not playing much special teams, but still, you know, that's what going back to what James, you know, asked earlier about what can you take away from some of these OTAs? It's things that might not be, you know, as exciting, especially for people who don't care about this kind of back of the roster stuff like Aaron Grimes and all of that. Like, you kind of notice the depth players more because, look, we're not – like, guys aren't even going to – like, I'm not going to talk about Fletcher Cox a whole lot because, like, you already know what Fletcher Cox can do.
Yeah,
like, I'm
exactly.
not going to – like, and there was a point when, you know, Shady was on the team and, like, guys – like, reporters just wouldn't even tweet about him. And it wasn't because, you know, they were trying to ignore it. It was just, like – your mind shuts it off. Because, like, look, we know LeSean McCoy is good. Like, do I need to tell you, like, he's doing great things in practice? I mean, there might be a play that sticks out here or there that would you would tweet about. But just overall, you know, you're not going to hear a lot about him. So that's something to keep in mind. Steven Means, he continues to look good. I think he's probably going to be that fifth defensive end behind, like, Barnett and Graham and Curry and Long. So I think that's a good sign again. And then, obviously, John's favorite wide receiver
there
on
he
the
is.
Team. Matt Collins, going gloveless once again, had a nice touchdown catch today. So nice to see he's kind of progressing along here too. Nothing too crazy. You know, at this point, OTAs are wrapping up. They're actually done tomorrow. We're not going to be there at practice. The last open practice for OTAs was today. But minicamp is next week, and that's when everyone has to be there. So we'll see if Jason Peters shows up. We'll see if Donnie Jones shows up. And then we're all waiting to see the big reveal. Will Marcus Smith show up to minicamp? So that's the next thing we got going on.
Yeah, and by the way, so, I mean, I did a really cool thing again today. I went to NFL Films, and I'm going to be on the NFL Top 10 again this fall, which is going to be a lot of fun. But I just want to point out that, so the Eagles moved up practice to today, and...
Just to mess with you.
Not only that, but to serve free lunch, which is the first time they've done that since OTAs. And me being the big fella that I am, I enjoy the free lunches, so I was semi-disappointed with that. But, yeah, like Brandon said, the full minicamps are going there, so we didn't have too much video or photo coverage, but BLG always does the live streaming of all of those on Bleeding Green Nation on the Facebook page, and you can check us out on BGN Radio Podcast on Facebook as well, and at BG, or what is it on Instagram? There's no adding at there, is there?
Yeah, there is.
Oh,
yeah,
at BGN underscore radio there.
BGN underscore radio, like the Twitter.
Yeah, like just like the Twitter. Lots of pictures, lots of videos. This we'll keep that rolling right along. Well, we'll knock out a couple more questions, and then we will say goodbye. This is coming from our good friend Mark A. How much money would it take for you to get tackled without pads by Fletcher Cox there, BLG?
All of the money.
All of the money? I would be, I don't know, man. You give me $5,000, I think that's all right.
Oh, no, John. I'm going to die.
$5,000.
That just for medical bills.
And you have to cover medical bills if I get hurt. How's that? Yeah, yeah. Like it. I think that's a pretty good deal. Which player is going to let us down this season? It's coming from Hunter McQuaid. Not injury related at all. If that player does let you down, can the Eagles still compete for the playoffs? I would say I'm just going to say Alshon Jeffery is going to let us down.
Oh, come on.
Because we're all assuming it's going to be great. I'm assuming it's going to be great. So but therefore it probably won't work out as well as we're thinking, and I'll say that they still can contend for a playoff spot, even if he's so-so. BLG?
I don't want to say Carson Wentz. I really don't want to say that.
Don't panic, but Carson Wentz.
But that's the easily the biggest one.
Well, that's
obviously
the other one,
no,
too.
No, they can't compete if he is having a disappointing season. So, like, that's the, as we've said all along, like, that's the big X factor. I don't want to say him, though. I want to pick another skill player or something. So... the Aguilar hype is kind of getting out of control. Well, I think in terms of, like, if we're getting to the point where we think, like, he's all of a sudden going to be a good starter, because I don't think he's that yet. I mean, I think just being a competent NFL player is the step up from being what he's been. So
yeah, I
guess if people are expecting him to be, like, a good starter, like, that's too high expectation-wise for me. I guess it would be him. Is there a better pick out there? I felt like you had another good pick. Derek Barnett, I guess, just because, like, there's that hype is building up now that, you know, he's looking this good. And now I'm kind of a little afraid if, like, if he doesn't start off the season hot, people are going to be like, oh, what are these guys talking about? He's a bust.
Fucking Howie, a piece of shit. Derek Barnett, I think those are all pretty good candidates. Let's hope that not all of them can kind of do that. And just stay with it here. Last couple of questions. Ooh, check out. How about this? How about a little Sixers question for you, BLG? This is coming from Evan71182 at that boy Freeze. Who do you think the Sixers take at 3? And what are your thoughts on CJ Smith and Mitchell White? From a proud Patreon subscriber. Thank you very much, there, Evans. What do you? Well, let's deal with the football first. CJ Smith and Mitchell White, how are they looking out there?
CJ Smith, I think, you know, looking pretty decent. I really like, he stood out to me last year in OTAs. He kind of caught my eye a little bit, and then that kind of picked up in training camp. So I kind of felt good about myself when he made the original roster, and then they cut him, put him on the practice squad, and then he got called back up. So I kind of felt good about that. I was like, yeah, I saw that. not to be Mr. Hipster here,
that was
but
me.
Mitchell White, I think I've seen him make some plays too. Again, you're talking about a fringe guy, so like maybe practice squad or something like that. But I've seen him make some plays, so that's encouraging. As far as the Sixers go, who do I want it to be was not the question, but I want it to be Malik Monk. And I know a lot of people are going to hate that because they're going to say he's not the best player available or whatever. Who do I think it will be? I don't think it'll be Monk. I think it'll be
going to be Isaac, right?
Jackson's the chalk answer, so I guess I got to guess him.
I think Jackson goes to the Lakers.
I'm going to do it.
No, they're not taking Lonzo Ball. There's no way they're doing it.
Oh, man.
Because they have a friend. If this is the funny thing about all that stuff, there are so many people that go, well, yeah, you would just take Lonzo Ball and just deal with the consequences afterwards. But if you're one of those tinfoil hat people that think that Ben Simmons could have come back healthy this year and he's saving, he was saving himself for the $5 million that he could get if he was the rookie of the year, and then you're going to put Lonzo Ball on the team? No. Like, there's no way. There's no way that that's going to happen. So I too, and not to be, as BLG said, not to be a hipster, I've wanted Malik Monk since fucking October on this yeah. team. It just made the most sense. That's who I also want. I think it's going to be Isaac. I think there's going to be like some weird trade down.
He's too tall, John.
He's too tall. I think it's going to be that. I think it's going to be Dennis Smith. I think it's something along those lines. I think the Colangelos are going to trip us up a little bit here. And maybe I'm wrong, but that's kind of. I think everybody's going to be disappointed in the draft for some reason, no matter what happens. BLG, we'll leave it there, and we appreciate all the questions. And we hope you appreciate all of the answers. Let's get your final thoughts here, pal.
Final thoughts. We've done 240 of these now. We are a mere 60 away from 300. And as John has pointed out right before this podcast, we are what, John? Let me like 60,000 roughly?
67,000 more listens to get to 3 million lifetime. That's pretty amazing.
So we're pretty close there. We appreciate everyone listening so far. We got to step up the reviews, though. I believe in you guys. We're letting the Ricky, you know, some other podcast, Spike's podcast, you may have heard of it, which is a very good podcast. It's one of my favorite podcasts out of this one, although BGN Radio is the only podcast, but that's besides the point. But yeah, they're marching on to like 1,000 reviews or something. They have over 600. And I think we only have like, I don't even know if we have 200. So
just below,
like if you like the show, please give us a review. We got to do a better job, I guess, of reading them. They do that, so we're going to steal their thing, I guess.
Let's steal from the podcast that doesn't exist that does a good job.
Yes, exactly.
And I'll just echo that as well. And again, thank you guys for listening each and every week. We'll have more bonus content on the Patreon page coming up next week. And also, be sure, the resurrection of Don't Go to the Phones is now available on this very feed that was posted 2 days ago, featuring our good friend Matt Daring and, of course, Dr. Trevor Strunk, where they kind of dissect and go over some of the they just really go into the culture of the NFL and the sport and draft Twitter and a bunch of other things. It's a very entertaining episode. And, of course, our good friend Vince Quinn had knocked out a nice little story on J.R. Reed's career. So if you are unfamiliar with him, back in the late-ish 2000s, just before 2008, 2009, I think that's right around when he was here, had a crazy up and down in life and in career, and it's a very entertaining episode. And teaser bonus, Vince Quinn and I have decided to do a Pawn for the Review together next week because we came up with a very cool idea that we hope that you enjoy and like very much. So that's going to do it for episode number 240 of the BGN Radio Podcast right here on BleedingGreenNation.com and BGNRadio.com. like socially acceptable things that that may or may not be in there. So,
John, real quick, James says he's not on anymore.
I heard him typing. That's so weird. I still hear you, James.
So can I. He says he's not on anymore, apparently.
What the fuck, dude?
I still hear you.
I can hear him.
No, this isn't working all of a sudden.
What, like the microphone? I guess maybe he can't hear us.
Uh-oh.
Now he's gone
forever.
I'm not hearing anything.
Oh, is that that old trick again? Damn it. Didn't that happen once before?
No, dude.
James, we can hear you. Yeah, dude, great. We can hear you. All right.
That's awesome.